11 of us are. Is anybody else ready to get into the Word of God today? All right. Well, turn over with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we began talking about the church I see, and it's not so much the church that I see, but it's the church that God sees. And my prayer and our prayer is that the church that I see is the church that God sees, because the church of Tim Versalono is really not that thrilling. I don't imagine it'd be a great place to go. But the church that Jesus is Lord of, now we're talking. That's a pretty happening place. That's a place that we want to be. Let's begin reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" But then Paul says this. He says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Lord, today as we are getting into your word, we just want to say thank you that you are already here. Thank you that you've been meeting us as we've been worshiping you. And Lord, we pray that as we hear your word, let us leave transformed to be doers of your word, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, last week we began talking about the church I see, and we shared about we the people, how God has called us to be a church that loves. So we'll take a look at this first slide here. The church that I see is a church that loves beyond ourselves, loves beyond our walls. It loves beyond our own perception. The church I see is filled with love. Everybody say, filled with love. Filled with love for each other that reaches beyond its walls. Now, it should be easy to love each other at church, right? Because we're the family of God. The challenge sometimes is when we love people outside of church, or people that we work with, or when we have to love the person who doesn't maybe get along with us, and we say, "Oh, Lord, help me to love them today." I heard somebody tell me one time, they were kind of joking with me, and I wondered after they walked away if they were serious or not. There's a song that we used to sing in the 70s when I was a little kid, and the song was called "I Love You with the Love of the Lord." And I remember singing the song in church when I was a kid, and this person said, "I love you with the love of the Lord, but if it wasn't for the love of the Lord, I wouldn't love you." And they were kind of joking that I walked away, and I thought, wait, I wonder if they're really joking or if they're really having a hard time loving me. But the Bible places such a priority on the fact that we have got to be filled with the love of God in our lives. And so God says that I want your church, I want my church to be filled with love for each other that reaches beyond not just these walls, but the walls of our own perception of what we think Christianity should look like. Because we all have different thoughts, don't we? We all voted for different people last fall, right? We all have different opinions of what things should look like. And God says that I want you to love beyond your walls. The second thing we talked about last Sunday is God wants us to integrate into our community. You are the pastor of your home. You are the pastor of your workplace. You are the pastor of the school, of the neighborhood. Wherever you're involved, God wants you to be the pastor. The church that God sees is completely integrated in the community. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I shared last service. When I worked at, I was bivocational for a little more than 10 years. I worked at a restaurant company. And you may or may not have heard this company. I'll tell you the name in just a minute. When I began working there, I started as a 35-year-old young man as a server. We had moved to Chicago to plant a church, and I thought, I need to get a job. And I've always enjoyed eating here, so I'll probably like working here as well. And so I started, we're planting a church, and we've got, you know, people that would come and meet in our basement. And the guy who was the CEO of the company was making a tour through Chicago because the company was brand new in the Chicago market. And so a lot of my team heard that I was a Christian. They heard that I was a pastor. And I'm like, okay, I just want people to see Jesus. That doesn't matter what I do. I just want people to see Jesus. And so the CEO of the company came through, and my general manager introduced me to him. He said, "House, this is Tim Versalono. He's a pastor." And I was like, well, that was kind of an introduction I was not expecting. And so House looks at me. His name was Eric Houseman, and everybody called him House. And he looks at me and he goes, "You're like the pastor of Red Robin." And it blew my mind because my GM kind of does this thing on the shoulder. He goes, "That's what we call him." And it blew my mind because I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to serve and make some money and put food on the table for the kids and make sure the mortgage is paid. And while I'm at it, just to try to be Jesus to people. And it blew my mind. See, God wants us to be integrated into our community. And I wasn't just working there, but I was pastoring there. God wants you to pastor wherever you're at, to shepherd wherever you're at. Touch your neighbor and tell him this. He's talking to you right now. We talked last week. The next thing we talked about was the church that God sees is a church that is filled with active restoration, filled with people broken yet being healed, lost and found. We talked about the church is not just it's not a museum for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. We come in, we get healed, and then we go and we bring the love of Jesus and the light of Jesus into the world. And then the last thing we talked about last week is God wants us to expand influence. Everybody say influence. Can I tell you something? The influence that you have because God gave it to you. I'm going to say that again. The influence that you have because God gave it to you. Right? God puts down the proud, but he exalts the humble. The influence that you have is because God gave it to you, and it's for kingdom expansion. It's for promotion. It's for blessing. It's to lead people to Jesus. It's for doing all that we can for the kingdom of God. So that's what we were talking about last week. Today, we're going to talk about purpose with a purpose. Purpose with a purpose. Now, I love vision. I love mission statements. I love hearing what God wants to do, and it's great to grab hold of a great vision. But I heard somebody say one time, they told me this line. They said, "If it ain't happening down the hall, it shouldn't be written on the wall." Let me say that again. If it ain't happening down the hall, it shouldn't be written on the wall. What does it mean? It means do what you say you're going to do and don't just be filled with a lot of talk, but do the stuff. Right? Do what you say you're going to do. Don't just say you're going to do it, but do what you say you're going to do. And so the first point I'd like to talk about today is, just like we started last week with love, this week we're going to talk about serving. The church I see teaches and releases people how to serve the Lord and each other, here comes the clincher, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. The church that I see teaches and releases people how to serve the Lord and each other wholeheartedly. See, last week, the first thing we talked about was love. This week, the first thing that we're kicking off, the next of the points we're talking about is serving. Why? Because serving in the world that we live in is becoming a lost art. It is. Serving in the world that we live in is becoming a lost art. Why is this happening? Because we live in a world that says, come and get what you're entitled to. You're entitled to the best hospital care in town. Come and get what you deserve. Can I just tell you what I deserved? Maybe you didn't, but I did. I deserve the fire of hell. Before I came to Jesus, the only thing that I deserved was the flames of separation and eternity of relationship with God. That is the only thing that I deserved. But God saw that and he said, I'm sending my son, Jesus. So that's not the case anymore. The only thing that our world deserves is hell. Let's give him Jesus. Let's give our world Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to say this to sound snarky or to sound nasty, but see, serving, like I said, it's becoming a lost art. So let me unpack this a little more. So you go to a restaurant to get served, right? When you're watching tennis on TV, if you play tennis, you're going to serve the ball. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, it says, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Here's what it says. It says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and, everybody say and. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to give his life for you and for me. That's good news. Especially when you considered what we deserved was separation from God. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what's the definition of serving in this passage? It's completely putting others' needs above our own. And that is a hard thing to do living in the U.S. of A., isn't it? Especially when all we hear on TV, we hear on the radio, we hear around, you deserve this. Come and get this. You're entitled to this. There's good entitlement programs that our government has. But when it comes to being a Christian, the whole tables are turned. Jesus says if you want to be the greatest, then you got to be the least. You got to serve. See, here's what our world calls it. Here's what we see it. It's called entitlement. I just mentioned that a second ago. And growing up in the world that we're growing up in can be challenging when you're battling this spirit of entitlement. Well, you should get this. It should be warm in the winter. Well, hopefully, definitely, it's going to be warm in the winter because it's cold when it's cold. But heat feels great. But see, when it comes to serving God, if you're waiting for others to serve you, let me tell you what's happening. If you're waiting for others, you're thinking, oh, others should serve me. You're dishonoring the Lord, and you're dishonoring the people that God's called us to serve. Let me say that one more time, because I know that sounds kind of like, oh, man. If we are making the choice to let others serve us, oh, you should serve me because I'm so awesome. Can I tell you something? I am not awesome. And neither are... Yeah. That just sounded kind of mean, didn't it? See, what happens is when we're waiting for others to serve us, we're dishonoring what Jesus did for us. But when you serve the Lord and you make the choice to serve others, and you don't just come and say, I'm just going to go ahead and because I need some help. No, come and serve wholeheartedly. Then you are bringing honor to the Lord, and God will bless what you are doing. God will work through your life. God will help you do great things in His name. See, the church that I see, teaches and releases people how to serve the Lord and each other wholeheartedly, not just halfway. I don't want to serve God halfway. I want to serve Him with everything that is in me because Jesus gave me everything. He didn't just give me His lifestyle on the cross. He gave me His life. I can do nothing less but give Him mine back. Number two, the church that I see has a local heart in focus, but is global in its reach. The church that I see has a local heart in focus, but it's global in reach. What does that mean? That means you know what's going on in your town. It means you know what's happening in Laconia. It means you know, not just by reading a newspaper, but we're interacting with our neighbors. We're getting to know the people around us. We know what's happening here in church and in other people's lives because the Bible tells us that when great things happen, we rejoice, but when bad things happen, we come together and we grieve. We stand together. It makes us stronger. See, to have a local heart and focus is to have the heart of Jesus. You know what's happening. Jesus knew what was happening. When He went to the temple, He didn't just walk by the temple, the tables and said, oh, look, they're selling stuff. He knew what was happening in the temple, and what did He do? He turned it all over and said, wait a minute. Let me tell you what my house should be used for. Jesus knew what was happening, and He did something to make a difference. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8 with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, the first part of this passage is a great part where he says, you shall receive power. That just sounds good, doesn't it? That feels good. The power to witness is undeniably a major part of this passage, but it is the unspoken fact that if we are going to witness, we need power to be effective. When you go home and you flip the switch, you expect your lights to come on, right? When you leave church today and you pull your key out of your pocket and you stick it in the ignition or you push the button, however you start your car, and you crank it, you expect your car to start, don't you? Now, let me just tell you a little story. When I was younger, I remember seeing my dad work on stuff out in the garage. Now, he wasn't really a carpenter, but he liked doing some things around the house. But my dad never used power tools. He only had like one or two power tools. One was a drill, and one was a saber saw. Everything else, he cut everything by hand. He'd screw everything by hand. And after my dad died, I asked my mom, I said, so mom, what was the deal with dad? How come he never used power tools? Because I'll just tell you right now, this boy likes power tools. I got a table saw and I like it. I like using power tools. I like when I plug it in and I flip that switch, I'm going to get stuff done. I flip it and power comes to my tools. And I asked my mom, I said, so why does Dad not like to use power tools? And she said, well, it sounds kind of funny. He's kind of scared of them. And I said, what do you mean he's kind of scared of power tools? He just would rather just saw it this way and hit it this way. Now, you know, one of the things on my wish list is a compressor so I can put you with nails. But until then, I'll just do this until I get a compressor. But see, the Bible is very clear. It says, in order to do the work, you need to have power to help you do the work. Right? In order to do the work, you've got to have power to do the work. Now, when we're little, this may be going back for some of us, we're taught some doobies. How many know what doobies are? Do be kind. Do be nice. Do be good. Doobies. Remember, there's a little character. He's like, he'd fly around on TV, and I was like, oh, doobie. This is probably one of the Lord's ultimate doobies. He says, you shall be, or he's saying, do be witnesses. But if you are going to be witnesses, you have got to be empowered. If you're going to flip the switch, then you better hope that there's power when you flip that switch so the light comes on. When I witness, when I share Jesus with people, there better be power in my life because people are going to flip my switch and wait for the power to come on. How many know what I'm talking about? See, Jesus is saying, do be witnesses. Oh, well, you know, I'm not a good witnesser. I'm not good with street evangelism. But you know what? You know people at work who need Jesus. How many times has somebody shared something with you and you said, I'll pray for you? I've done it before where I say, I'll be praying for you, and then I walk away, and I just innocently forget because I just get caught up in doing work. That's just kind of how I'm wired. And then 3 days go down the road, or the next time I see him at church, I go, oh, shoot, I didn't pray for them. So I say a quick prayer in Jesus' name, amen. And then we might say something like this, I've been praying for you this week. Can I just offer us this encouragement? If you are with somebody and they share something with you, I want to challenge you. Hey, could we just take a minute and pray? Or could we just touch bases after work? Can I just say a prayer for you? And then listen for what the Holy Spirit might tell you how to pray. It will blow your mind what God will do. I had a server one time when I was working in the restaurant, and she came to me and said, Tim, can I talk to you for a minute? And it wasn't how hot should the burger be, how long do the fries take to cook, what's the shelf life of whatever. It's like, yeah, let's talk for a minute. So we went back into the back of the restaurant, and this is what I heard. My husband's beating me, and my heart just broke. And I thought, okay, Lord, if you put me here to work in this company to pray for this lady so that you could change her life, then you've done exactly what you've wanted to do. She flipped the switch, and we prayed. And there were many times through the 10 plus years that I was bivocational, people would say, Tim, can I talk to you for a minute? And oftentimes I would say, would you mind if I said a prayer for you? And if it took longer, then we'd pray after work because I don't want to take advantage of the company's clock. Integrity is a big deal. And all the employers said amen. See, but the Bible says, in order to be witnesses, you've got to be filled with power. See, we have a local focus. Know what's going on around you. I heard a while back that we gave some money to the mill to help with some restoration. That's knowing what's going on around us. We just gave a gift to be a blessing to the mill. I think it'd be great if we talked to people who are leaders in our city and said, what can we do to serve? What does Laconia need? Some of us know what Laconia needs. Some of us know what our surrounding communities need. But if we step in and say, how can I pray? What can I do? How can I help? Oh, that just changes everything. We're flipping the switch, and Jesus is saying, be witnesses, and we're saying, yes, Lord. See, if Jesus was telling us this today, his words would sound very similar to what he said, but it would sound like this. Be my witnesses in Laconia, in New Hampshire, in the United States, and to the end of the earth. We need to know what's going on around us. See, neither you nor I know how many people we will influence over the course of our lives. I have no idea. I hope that I'm influencing a lot of people and pointing a lot of people to Jesus. It'd be terrible if I got to my grave, if Jesus doesn't come first, which hopefully he does. But if I got to my grave and I never did anything with what the Lord put inside me. Hear what I'm saying? Number three, The church I see is socially involved in every strata and facet of life. The church I see is socially involved in every strata and facet of life. Now, all of my kids have participated in some sort of activity in church and in school, but they've also done extra stuff. And so my oldest daughter, she was a cheerleader. She went to Hart High School. And my middle daughter, Casey, played volleyball, and Jackson, as you know, plays hockey. So our kids did a lot of sports. Now, can I just kind of go on record and say this? Being involved in sports can be challenging because the coach wants your kids there on Sunday morning when it's time for church. How many know what I'm talking about? And being a Christian, that's hard sometimes. Being a pastor is even more challenging because they're like, hey, we want your kid there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but there's church. Now, here's what we've done. With Shay's involvement, she didn't go around, and none of my kids had gone around saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I've just said, guys, you live your life and let Jesus speak for you. You live your life and let Jesus speak for you. See, I was bivocational, like I mentioned, for more than 10 years. I worked in the restaurant industry. JJ was a team mom last year for Jackson's hockey team, and she organized moms to put lunches together to bring to the boys before they had a game that weekend or that evening. And you may be involved in some type of PTA or parent organization at your school, or maybe your kids play soccer and you're a coach or something like that. But see, the church that Jesus wants us to be part of is a church that is involved in every strata of society, wherever we're at. It's wonderful that we're here. It's great that we're here. And should we come together on Sunday mornings? Absolutely. The Bible says, do not forsake getting together to come to worship the Lord. Do we do the right thing when we come to church on Sundays? Yes. But don't just leave it here. Let's not just be the church right here in these walls. Be the church when you're at the soccer game. Be the church when you're driving on the road and people are cutting you off. Be the church wherever you are at. See, because the Lord wants us to be socially involved. We talked last week. Remember, we talked about being in the world but not of the world. Don't look like the world. Don't smell like the world. Don't talk like the world. But don't separate yourself so far out that people go, oh, that's the church and they're just no earthly good. That's just the church. Because there are how many churches that have lost their effectiveness because they've said, oh, we don't want to be touched by the world. And in doing that, they forget to touch the world. That's not the church that God has called us to be. God has called us to be world changers, every single one of us, no matter where we were at. Amen? See, I want to ask, so what are you and where are you involved? And what are you doing to let Jesus' light shine through to others? Well, you might be saying, well, you know, Pastor, I'm really busy. I got a lot going on. I can't. Well, what if we just stopped and said, Lord, what can I do in where I'm at? Is there something that's got to give? Is there something that's got to change? Is there something that you want to work in me? Is there somebody that you want to touch through me? Because I'll tell you, there's people that you will touch that I will never touch. There's people that Greg will touch that Bob won't touch. We'll all touch people in different ways. But the fact is that the Lord wants us to be involved in what is happening in the world around us. God wants us to be world changers. Tell the person next to you, he's talking to you. See, 1 Corinthians 12, we read this a little while ago and when we opened our time together. 1 Corinthians 12, 29 to 30 says this. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no, we don't do all those things. It'd be wonderful if we did, but God puts different things in every single one of us because he's wired us all differently. See, there is a great point of social involvement with issues with homelessness or the business world or substance abuse or divorce care or social workers, government. But see, let me ask a question one more time with a different emphasis. Where are you involved? It's great that we are involved and do things, but what are you doing? Where are you involved? And what are you doing to let Jesus' light shine through to others? See, I'd be a terrible rocket scientist because I know that 1 + 1 = 2. But when you start throwing geometry at me, I am so lost. I've got a friend who is just great at geometry and math and anything that has to do with numbers. He can just, you know, boom. Okay, yeah, good. And I just go, 1 + 1 = 2. And life is good. I know that my alphabet has 26 letters in it. I know that's great for me. I would be an awful rocket scientist. If people would say, Tim, get people to the moon, I'd say, go talk to somebody else. But see, He will reach people that I can't reach because he can speak their language. He knows that A times B equals C, and then this plus this squared will equal this times sine, cosine, tangent, whatever. And I'm just like, Jesus loves you. God bless you. That's good. But there's things that I can do that he can't. See, God has put all of us here, like we looked at last week. It pleased God to put you here. We all reach people differently, but God wants you to reach the way that he made you to reach. Don't try to be Tim Versalono. You be you. You be who God made you to be, and you will watch and see people's lives changed. And at the end of your day, you'll go, wow, Lord, that was really awesome. At the end of my day, when I did work in the restaurant, JJ would often ask, how was your day? And she was not asking me, you know, I would just spout off all this great stuff I was learning. Oh, we did this today and we did that. And we had, you know, this many guest count. We made this much money today. And so, and she was like, okay, but what happened with the people? That's what she was asking. See, at the end of your day, what it did for me working in the restaurant for the time that I did, I got thinking, oh, what did I do to touch people for you today, Jesus? Did I add money to the bottom line? Yes, that's good and important when it comes to the restaurant. But who did I touch for you? Because that's the larger picture at hand, isn't it? Who have I touched for you? Number four, the church I see is a place of healing, physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental. The church that I see is a place of healing. Everybody say healing.
Healing.
Healing, physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is the Apostle Paul's concluding remarks to the church in Thessalonica that still rings through to the centuries today. It's as clear today as it was when it was written, and it says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless or complete at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, just as God is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one in three, three in one, God created us three in one as well. There's three parts of us, spirit, soul, and body, in one package right here. Spirit, soul, and body inside of us. And see, God desires us to be complete just like he is complete. The King James Version says to be perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I am the farthest thing from perfect. In the morning, my breath is bad, my hair is nasty, and it's just bad. Just be glad you don't have to wake up next to me and pray for JJ when she does have to wake up next to me. I am not perfect, but I serve somebody who is. See, what the Word is telling us here, where the King James Version says to be perfect, God says, I want to make you complete in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. And healing is not just for physical healing. It's for mental healing. It's for emotional healing. It's for spiritual healing. Because God knows how he made us, and we just walk through life. And sometimes we walk through hard things, don't we? Sometimes we face challenges that we just go, I don't know what to do, God, and we just throw our hands up. But God knows what to do. See, you may ask me, and people have asked me over the years, why is there so much sickness in the world? If God is love, why does this happen? If God is love, then why does that happen? Why? We want to know why, because we're human beings. We're curious. We're a curious bunch of people, aren't we? That's the way God made us. But see, it's not so much the why is, are you still going to trust God through it? If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. I'm going to say that again. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. Now, I know that sounds cute, and I know that sounds fun, but that is really true. Because God will not allow you to walk through a storm all by yourself, even though sometimes your feelings will say you're by yourself. Jesus never leaves you, and he never turns his back on you, ever. Period. End of story. So when the enemy tries to lie to you and tell you you're all alone, you can just look at him and say, shut up, in Jesus' name. Get thee behind me, like Jesus said, right? See, God sees a church of healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, mental healing. When I was a little boy, I was a really sick kid. I was allergic to cats, dogs, dust, air, water, people. I was allergic to everything. And it just got... I imagine my mom it just got too much, and she was a brand new baby Christian, and she called this pastor, or he called us or something. I don't remember quite how it happened. But she put the phone next to my ear, and this pastor prayed for me. And all I knew is that I didn't have to go to the doctor anymore once a week to get a shot in my arm and a shot where I didn't want to get a shot. But it also meant I didn't get a sucker anymore, which was kind of a bummer. But the Lord healed me, and I'm not allergic to anything. And I was allergic to everything when I was a kid. See, I know the power of the power of God's healing work in our life. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've seen God work healing in my life. JJ's grandma was sent home from the doctor two or three times full of cancer, and the doctor said, you're not going to make it past your 20s. Let me tell you, when Grace died, she died when she was 95 just a couple years ago. She was a testament and a testimony of God's healing work. See, I don't know what is happening in your life, but God does. And God wants to heal whatever is happening in your world. I don't know what your finances look like, but God does. And he can heal your finances. He can heal your mindset that goes with your finances. Because sometimes I know it's hard to get ahead because we've got a lot going on. And sometimes you say, you know, I can't give. I can't put it in the plate. I got too many bills. See, God can heal that mindset too. God wants us to be healed. See, Mark 11:24 says this, and Pastor Greg, go on, coming up. Mark 11:24, Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you pray, believe. I've met too many people, they just toss one up to the man, thinking that that's going to make a difference in their life. Thinking that, and who knows? Maybe God will do something, but life is more than just tossing one up to the man. When you pray, when we gave today in the offering, you notice that I made the comment, don't throw your seed, you sow your seed. My uncle was a farmer, and he didn't just go out and just throw seed all over the place. He plowed the field, and he made rows, and when he planted seed, guess what he expected? He expected a harvest. See, when we pray and say, God, I want to have purpose. It's not just to have purpose and be kind of like what's happening in the world, but it's purpose with a purpose. God has a reason for you to be alive. So don't think, oh, I've got... what do I bring? What do I do? It's just me. God says, yeah, it's just you. It's just you and me. God's got great things in store for you. He's got great things in store for us. And as Laconia Foursquare Church, God's plan for us is to have a purpose that is a real purpose. It's tangible. It's graspable. It's something that we can say, yes, God, this is who you've called us to be. And it all starts with serving. It all starts with saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do through me? Who do you want to reach through me? How do you want to change my family? It might begin with you. How do you want me to be a light in my school? What do you want me to do, Lord? What is my purpose? Because God wants to give you a purpose with a purpose. Can we all just take a moment, just close our eyes? You may be here today and you say, okay, I've heard you talk now for a while, Pastor Tim. And I really want to know what my purpose is. I feel like I maybe had a purpose, but it just got kind of lost because life just has happened. Can I tell you, the place to find purpose is in making Jesus the Lord of your life. Last service, there were a number of people who raised their hands to make Jesus Lord of their life, and they opened their hearts to him. I want to ask here today as we're gathered, if you're here today and you say, Tim, I want some purpose in my life. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to surrender to him and his purpose for me. Would you raise your hand and say, yes, that is me, Pastor. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Thank you. So somebody else, you say, I want to make Jesus my Lord. I need Jesus to change my life. Thank you. Could we lift our voices together and just pray this prayer while we're in this moment together? Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give myself to you. Forgive me for my sins. I receive your forgiveness. I will live for you every day, today, tomorrow, and the day after. Jesus, I'm yours. In your name I pray. Now, while our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed, you may be here today and you heard this last point, us talking about the church that God sees as a church of healing. You may be here today and you might need physical healing. You may need the Lord to work something of healing in your emotions. Something that's going on. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need the Lord to touch me today. I do not want to leave the same way that I came in. Would you just raise your hand up today? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up all over the room today. Let me ask you, can we just stand together? And can I just ask if you would be so bold as we're all standing here in this room right now. Let's all stand together. If those of you who raise your hands for healing, if you'd be so bold as to raise your hand if you'd like to. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are around, those with their hand raised, could you maybe grab their hand or maybe place your hand on their shoulder as a point of faith, as a point of contact? We're going to pray and release the healing from heaven that God has for you. And as we begin to call out to heaven, would you, those of you who have your hands raised, would you believe that God is meeting your need right now, right now? In Jesus' name, Lord, as the atmosphere is charged with faith, God, as we've been hearing your word, as we've been hearing the things that you see for us, in the name of Jesus, Lord, whether it's physical healing, whether there's something that's happened in our emotions or with our family, God, if we have kids who've walked away from the Lord and we're just praying, God, bring them back to you. God, whatever it is, we declare healing right now in Jesus' name. Whether it's over our finances, in the name of Jesus, I declare provision where there has been lack. I declare healing where there has been sickness. I declare wholeness where there has been emptiness. I thank you, Lord God, that you are meeting us and changing our lives right now. And the touch of healing from heaven is happening in our lives as we are agreeing together. Now, church, could we all just begin to lift our hands and just begin to thank the Lord and begin to speak praise to him? Could we just all begin to lift our voices and just begin to thank him? Thank you, Lord. Marriages are being restored, that relationships are being healed. Thank you for the heavens that are being opened, the windows of heaven that are being opened over our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you join us together as we sing this chorus together?